It's E-Commerce Minute, your weekly dose of e-commerce, tech, and retail news with your hosts, John Suter, Bart Meraz, and Brittany Blackman. The E-Commerce Minute is a production of Sumo Heavy, a digital commerce consulting firm in Brooklyn, New York, and Philadelphia. Find us on the web at sumoheavy.com.
It's the E-Commerce Minute, episode 771.
These are the top stories in e-commerce, tech, and retail for the week of November 9th, 2020. E-commerce stocks rocked by COVID vaccine report. E-commerce stocks got hit hard on Monday as the market reacted to a game-changing development in the race for COVID-19 vaccine. Amazon, Square, PayPal, Shopify, and other e-commerce stocks fell as investors are selling shares of online and retail digital payments companies on the news of a potential coronavirus vaccine. After Pfizer and German company BioNTech's blockbuster announcement on Monday that clinical trials would suggest their coronavirus candidate, BNT162b, I don't know where they get these names from, could be 90% more effective at preventing COVID-19, many investors headed for the exits and decided to take profits in e-commerce stocks. For most of 2020, thanks to the pandemic, investors couldn't get enough of companies like Peloton or Zoom or other brands like that where you're doing stuff at home. But on Monday, that all changed, and part of Tuesday, when investors went racing back to traditional stocks like airlines, cruises, and energy firms, which have been decimated during the pandemic. As a result, on Monday, shares of Amazon, Square, PayPal, and Shopify were down 3.3, 6.1, 7.1, and 10.5% respectively. Now, online and retail digital payments have been some of the best performing stocks of 2020 as they sought shelter from the COVID storm. But I don't think that's going to last. I think these people just taking gains. But even that being said, prior to the sell-off, Amazon, PayPal, Shopify, and Square had surged 163% and 217% respectively since the end of 2019. So no tears being shed there. Yeah, people taking some gains. I think that's just a temporary thing. It's just funny how reactionary the markets are. Go ahead, Mark.
This just proves that the stock market is not the economy. So let's just say that out loud.
Yeah, really say the quiet part out loud.
If you can't tell the economy and stock market have nothing to do with each other half the time, this is literally the best example right there because it's just a report. The vaccine is not here yet.
Yeah, we have a long, long, long way to go before there is a vaccine. And I kind of predicted that something like this would happen, a bump or something like that, or some sort of correction related to the vaccine, because people are looking for those rays of optimism and also gathered around, you know, what's happening with the election and all that kind of stuff. This was kind of, the timing is curious, but the result is not unexpected. There's a long way to go for this vaccine. And I was reading some things the other day about how difficult this thing is going to be to actually administer. So we're miles away. We're miles away.
Yeah, from it's also
sitting in a bar having a beer.
Right. I mean, your markets are looking a year ahead anyway. So I mean, a lot of the stuff is ahead, and it's great. I mean, it's great news overall. These stocks taking a little bit of a dive. It's a good thing if you want to buy some.
That's right. That's right.
But all right. You know as well as I do that Amazon, Square, PayPal, Shopify, those guys are going to keep them going up. Mm-hmm. So is Peloton, so is the rest of them, and that's fine.
Absolutely, and here's our disclaimer. We are not an investment show. We do not give investment advice, blah, 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 blah.
Stonks. We just talk about stonks.
We just talk about stonks.
Yes, we talk about stonks, not stocks, stonks.
Stonks are always rising. All right, next story. Amazon explores rural delivery hubs. Amazon is exploring the idea of opening small shipping hubs in U.S. rural regions to make last-mile deliveries to more remote customers. Under their Wagon Wheel initiative, Amazon would make the most final-mile deliveries rather than the U.S. Postal Service and other carriers, which handle the majority of their deliveries right now. New job postings at Amazon reportedly alludes to the initiative, which was described as a, quote, new delivery business that seeks to improve deliveries in rural and super rural communities in North America. While Amazon is considered its own largest delivery company, it also relies on USPS, UPS, and other carriers to deliver those packages. A Morgan Stanley analysis from December estimates that Amazon delivers about 46% of its own packages in the final mile, followed by USPS at 30% and UPS at 17%. In September, it was reported that Amazon planned to open around 1,500 warehouses in smaller suburban neighborhoods to meet consumer demand and better fulfill one-day and two-day deliveries. So I've seen a lot of Amazon warehouses spring up in my area, and I'm certainly not a rural customer. So
not even close.
Not even close. So I can imagine. I mean, this is, again, I always use this term. This is not unexpected news, but I would think that the USPS should be concerned. I mean, are they concerned? I don't know. Should they be concerned? Do we care?
They should not be concerned. They're still going to use them. I mean, it's still the cheapest possible package delivery, right?
So if you're a seller, sure, and you've got first class mail, yeah, or media mail, sure.
Well, I mean, Amazon, I mean, this is their stride into doing it. Like, you know, how many Amazon trucks are you seeing now? You know, it's their delivery, right? So they're trying to outdo, you know, they'll deliver the stuff they're selling. They're probably just, they're going to start, what's probably going to happen is they're going to deliver the stuff they sell, but they'll use USPS, UPS, and FedEx for the marketplace stuff, right? Mm-hmm. At least for now. And then, I mean, they're trying to become, USPS, I don't think should be worried. I think that UPS and FedEx could be like, nah, this is kind of sucky, but that's going to be the thing. I mean, USPS is an interesting world in itself, but I don't, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we still have to think about where we're at right now, heading into the fourth quarter, and we're going to be dealing with all this volume. So I would think that something like this within the next calendar year would be kind of welcome only from a capacity viewpoint, but not from, you know, are they slowly going to phase us out? That might be years down the road, and who knows what's going to happen in a few years, but still interesting to point out nevertheless. In terms of hiring and employees in Q3, Amazon's employee count crossed the 1 million mark. Amazon now has 1.13 million employees, a 50% increase from last year. So they are on a hiring spree. In just the last 4 months, Amazon has added 350,000 permanent jobs, a mix of part-time and full-time. For context, Google has about 100,000 total permanent employees.
So this is kind of interesting, like a million people, like they always surge right at the fourth quarter, obviously, for the part-timers. Mm-hmm. Remember, we always tell those people that like park outside and like they live in the RVs for the winter, basically.
Yeah.
I wonder that's how that's going to really change overall, it's considering like this year for anybody that sells online has just been absolutely insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the fourth quarter in any rate is going to be very interesting to look at, COVID and non-COVID related. I mean, just e-commerce, we've seen the surge in the last 6 to 8 months, how that will affect us in the fourth quarter. It's going to be interesting to watch. All right. Next story. Ulta Beauty to open shops within Target. I know, Brittany, this excites you very much, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. I kind of looked at this, again, because I'm not a consumer of these types of products, but I was like, that's pretty cool. But then I started seeing the reaction online. It was like people were freaking out. So I thought, all right, we got to do a story on this. So let's get into it. Ulta Beauty is opening mini cosmetic shops inside of Target stores next year to try and sell makeup and skincare to more shoppers. The deal is expected to help Ulta, which sells a mixture of drugstore beauty and pricey brands, to reach younger and more budget-conscious consumers. For Target, it expands the retailer's growing beauty business with new brands it didn't carry before. So here's Dietz. 1,000 square foot mini shops are expected to open in 2021, launching initially in 100 Target locations and on Target.com, then ramping up to several hundred Target stores. The shops will feature Ulta's virtual makeup triumph called Glam Lab, which offers access to more than 4,000 items. They will be staffed by Target workers trained in high-end cosmetic and skincare brands by Ulta. So it's interesting that they are doing this now, as we've seen the, I guess, what would you categorize it, Brett? The beauty market has kind of sunk a little bit for obvious reasons
because,
you know, nobody's going to the office, nobody's going out.
I just find it very interesting because I don't know if you've noticed, but in Target's like, their makeup section, they have been trying to revamp in itself for the past 2 years. So like you see like the different lighting in the makeup section, the white shelves, it looks like a makeup store in itself, even now in Target's. So it's actually really interesting that they put all that time into revamping their own beauty section just to add Ulta's into all the store. I'm realizing, like, as you were talking, I was like, wait a second. I think we might have reported before on like how they were trying to make themselves like a destination for makeup just on their own. So this partnership, it on one hand, it makes sense. But on the other hand, it's like they put so much work into their stores.
Yeah, I will echo your comment on how they've kind of reconfigured their beauty section, where it used to be the men's stuff was all kind of mixed up. Like, you know, men's stuff used to be a couple of years ago. It was like, oh, yeah, here's your shampoo. It's next to the shaving cream and the, you know, pimple cream, whatever. And now they've even taken the men's, to, like, and I have noticed what you said about the new shelving and the new lighting. It's for the personal care section is now a lot brighter, big shelves, great lighting. And they've even done, like, the Target that I go to, they have a little like showcase area where mm-hmm. the men's products are laid out almost like an old fashioned department store, meaning they have tables set up. Now there's still the packaging and everything that comes from the manufacturer, but the stuff is more like showcased. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, and Target does a real good job with their own private brand. Like they have that good, what is it called, Barb? Goodfellas, good, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's Goodfellas. Well,
Goodfellas.
Well and Good or whatever they're doing.
Goodfellas, Well and Good, Spring and Ever Spring. Yeah, they have a lot of brands. But anyway, whatever their men's brand is, they showcase that stuff next to the Harry's and some other higher end brands. So, you know, it's not like, it's not $2 body wash. It's
right.
Some of the stuff's like $12, like some high end stuff. And the way that it's merchandised makes it more accessible where you think, you know what, I want to try this. You know, I think it works. I think it definitely works.
Like real beauty store.
The real beauty store.
Like how you can try it.
Target has been changing their stores and what they do with them for a while back now.
Yeah.
I think they're going a little upscale, which is kind of cool, but they're still doing great.
They definitely are, at least in a merchandising sense, definitely going more upscale. I haven't really seen a shift in prices. And I think that is a good thing because mm-hmm. people do, you know, we always, you know, jab at Walmart, but Walmart is what it is. It's a utility. It's a lowest price, lowest common denominator kind of store where you run in, you grab your essentials and you get the hell out of there as fast as you can. Whereas Target, what's the joke everyone makes? I went in for a stick of gum and spent $100 and bought 5 shirts.
You know, yep,
right. It's all about the merchandising in there.
And demographically speaking, I mean, the fact that, so department stores like JCPenney have partnered with Sephora. So that's higher end, more expensive stuff. Whereas if you noticed, Ulta carries both drugstore and high end.
Right.
So it makes a ton of sense for them to put that into Target. And you have those people who shop at Target that are on the cusp of like having the budget for a high end too, right? Because it's Target. So it's a little more extra.
Right.
So makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the only thing for me for this one is like, how long have I been working on this? Mm-hmm. And they just launched it this year and happened to be in the middle of a pandemic where people are trying to stay away from stores and getting their makeup done.
You know what? That's a great point because this is not something that you plan in 6 weeks. This could have been in the works for a while and they could have been in the middle of the pandemic going, still do this?
I'm not sure. Right. I actually, it's funny too because, you know, makeup sales have dropped off because obviously we're not going into work, we're not going to bars and stuff like that. But one way that I've seen makeup rise, and not even just makeup, just like body care in general, is TikTok. I actually have a very specific example. So there's this brand at Target. They released this skincare brand probably earlier this year called Versed. And there's this one cleansing balm. And as soon as somebody made a viral TikTok, like viral to the point it had like hundreds of thousands of likes, every time I went to a Target for like 2 months, I could not find that product.
Power of TikTok.
TikTok's pool has made us start to buy stuff we didn't even know we needed in the beauty sector. So I feel like she might be sneaking back up.
Yeah. So
making up for it.
No. Yeah. Maybe there's another point to be had there, whereas people are, you know, they have, I hate to say it, they have COVID fatigue. Yeah, okay. I'm so, wham, sorry, you're tired of the virus. Sirens didn't get your memo, but I think people just want to, you know, they want to look good and feel good again, even if they can't do the exact same things that they used to. But getting back on TikTok, it's a great opportunity, you know, and that really echoes the deal with Shopify, which we reported on last week, which, you know, store owners now can make TikTok videos to help market their merch. Mm-hmm. Boy. I tell you, every once in a while, I kind of forget about TikTok. And, you know, Bart, you and I were texting while we were having lunch, and it was like, what were we doing? We were sharing TikTok.
We were literally sharing TikTok, which is the funniest part of this. Like, I have 3 TikToks, and they're exact same things. We were sharing them because, like, it's one of those, like, I think it's the old school, like, I think TikTok is at a point where Instagram was in the beginning, where people are so addicted to it. It has that viral side of it. And it's just, the other side of it, making TikToks is just insane because the tools in it is like,
it's
like,
hard.
I'm at a point where I'm like, this is way too much for me.
Yeah, and I feel like a boomer.
I play with tools all the time and I play with stuff. And I'm like, every time I look at it, I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
I will use it as a distraction.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's it.
The video editor in me is like, I really appreciate the craftsmanship that goes in there. And then I think, I could never take the time to make this video.
No, like I'm trying to go viral on TikTok, but I don't have the stamina. Like I don't have the attention. Like I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know how they do it.
And people are so good at it and they edit it right inside of the app. And you're like, nope.
Fingers too fat for that.
Honestly, I feel that. I think it's so funny that we're sitting here talking about this because I like vividly remember like the three of us out at Max right before the pandemic hit, and we were talking about TikTok briefly, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't use that. That's
right." And I'm now we're old. Like so addicted to it. Like some of that. I mean, I know we were just talking about Target, but I think some of the stuff hit really well. Ironically, during a pandemic, like if a pandemic wasn't going on, I don't know, some of the stuff will actually hit or be a thing.
Yeah, good point. Like the cooking stuff. Like I'm really hooked on the cooking stuff. I've gotten so many like just ideas and just techniques, but the way that they're edited and the way people get in there and you know, the creativity, the level of creativity is really impressive.
I've learned a lot of new things, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I will echo your sentiment about Instagram because that's the way it was when Instagram first started. It was a place of discovery. Now Instagram is ads for wallets and watches.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I tweeted the other day, Instagram by far is becoming my least favorite app. The algorithm's so bad. I don't even see my friends' posts, but we complained about this already.
Mm-hmm. Beating a dead horse. Okay, let's move on to the next story. A Supreme acquisition. Iconic red and white brand Supreme has been acquired for $2.1 billion by VF Corporation, an equity firm that also owns iconic brands like The North Face, Timberland, and Dickies. This is not their first acquisition. In 2007, the Carlyle Group acquired half the company for $500 million. And Supreme and VF are no strangers. They have routinely collaborated on products for VF's North Face, Timberland, and Vans apparel lines. Renowned for its limited drops and highly coveted streetwear, the brand has bloomed into a $500 million per year fashion empire. Founded in New York Skate Shop in 1994, Supreme Apparel has become popular with skateboarders, hip-hop fans, and other millennial and Gen Z youth cultures.
Two things. A, good for them.
A, great for them.
Two, it's insane that you can take a logo like that, and it's, you know, it's not insane because we've seen this with other logos. I mean, you look at it. What?
It's just not a logo.
You just did it.
It's not a great logo. It's not a great logo.
T.
Well, right. In your eyes, because you're a designer, for most of these kids, it's great, right? So, like, you take that with a limited stock and you make it something, like, special.
Elite.
Yeah.
It becomes the ridiculousness of it.
They were the forerunners of that, you know, the drops. Like, that
the hype beast.
You know, and when they did collaborations with, I think they went to Japan.
Mm-hmm. They have a Louis collab.
Yeah, so they start doing collaborations, and it was all about the mystique. It all about the make it hard to get, and when you get it, you're special. And that's the secret sauce. Mm-hmm. But it was started by this guy, James Jabia. I didn't really know anything about this. I just kind of dip my toe in there. He's 57 years old, and now he's worth $800 million. So good for James Jabia. An American British businessman and fashion designer is known for being the founder of the skateboarding shop and clothing brand Supreme New York. Good for him. I don't know if he's involved in the company any longer. It sounds probably not. So what does VF get for $2.1 billion? Well, they're not your typical multi-billion dollar brand with just a little brick and mortar. Blah, blah, blah. It's a cult following, and they expertly hype their merch drops, mainly through its social media channels. Supreme, which does 60% of its sales online, will play a key role in what VF CEO Steve Rendell calls a hyper-digital business model transformation. Bart, what does that mean?
A lot of gobbledygook.
So VF is confident that its existing expertise in the athletic activewear and streetwear space will keep the Supreme brand cool, but others in the retail industry aren't so sure. Webb Smith, writer of the e-commerce newsletter 2PM, argued in a tweet that Supreme's ownership chose mass distribution when it should have focused on enhancing the brand's powerful mystique. I will kind of agree with that. I wonder
Webb is not wrong on this one.
Yeah, I wonder if the fellow kid, what the fellow kids are going to think. We'll find out. We'll see what they do next. But they've done collaborations before, so it's not like they completely sold out, or I don't know.
I mean, it's a little different than you have collaborations between games bought by a bigger company. Like,
right.
You get all the politics into it, and you can't control the drops and what you want to do to it. Like, you look at right. All these other big brands that got bought up, you know, Gucci and Louis and, like, all the conglomerates, right?
So. Yeah, but I wonder if the fellow kids realize that they also sold half of their company a couple of years ago, you know.
Well, I mean, I was in Pittsburgh recently. I think that's where I saw it, and there was a Supreme collab store. I don't remember what brand they were collabing with, and there was still like a line outside for it. So
yeah. So like I said, they've got the secret sauce. They're in the echelon now of, you know, the higher end brands. You know, I guess they're the, what do we say, Gen Z, the Gen Z version of what a Louis Vuitton would be for an older person, I guess, right?
It's almost like fashion Banksy.
Ah, that is a great description. Right? Yeah, because it does border on kind of, it's not artistic, it's not super creative, but it's got that mystique
abstract
to it.
Abstract.
It's like, I can't put my finger on it. It's like people wait in line for these products that aren't that great, but it's the mystique surrounding just that logo, that red and white crazy slanted logo that drives me nuts.
It's actually a perfect storm of the exclusivity of the brand and how just huge streetwear is becoming, or became, like streetwear. Yes. And they did it the best. So
yeah, I think it could be a, you know, partially a case of right place, right time, and just a smart guy running it. But we'll
if you look at it, I mean, we've worked with Stadium Goods, which is one of the biggest resellers of sneakers. I mean, that whole world is absolutely insane. It's huge.
Oh, yeah. The sneaker world.
Sneaker world, streetwear, anyone of that stuff. Like, and even the skating world. I mean, John, you know, you and I get it at some point in our lifetime. Like, back in the day, that was nothing. Now it's, like, huge.
Yeah. Should have started my own brand. All right. For the final story for this week. Tesla launched $250 own brand bottles of tequila. The electric car giant started selling the drink, which comes in a bottle shaped like a lightning bolt, more than 2 years after its CEO, Elon Musk, first referred to Teslaquila in a jokey tweet. On April Fool's 2018, Musk joked that Tesla had gone completely and totally bankrupt and was found passed out against a Tesla Model 3 surrounded by Teslaquila bottles. I'll fast forward. The Tesla tequila sold out within 7 hours of its launch on Tesla's online store and was only available in the United States. The details. Just can't even get through this. Tesla tequila comes with a stand and is made and is an exclusive small batch 100% de agave tequila añejo made from sustainably sourced agaves, Tesla said. The drink, 40% alcohol, was aged for 15 months in French oak barrels, and it has flavors of fruit, vanilla, cinnamon, and pepper, Tesla said. California-based Nosotros Tequila produces the drink for Tesla. The company charges just $45 for a similar product, albeit aged for four fewer months. That doesn't include Tesla's branding, so you can get the same tequila for about a third, a quarter of the cost. Deliveries won't start until late 2020, but some buyers have already listed the drink on eBay. They claim to have secured an order, and many are selling the bottle and stand without the actual drink. One listing has already received 10 bids, putting the price up to $660. What is wrong with people?
Well, this is a slew of things they put out there, right? The flamethrower thing, which was a joke, but listen. He employs, you know, tactics of funding things. It's kind of what Airbnb did with cereal. It's the same thing. But people buy it, which is kind of silly.
So I like these little jokey merch drops.
Yeah.
But he does this all the time. Like he announced on a tweet via Thursday that Tesla will make he's going to have a short sale. Tesla will make fabulous short shorts and radiant red satin with gold trim. We'll send some of the short seller and Richmond Commission to comfort them through these difficult times. He calls the SEC the short seller Richmond Commission.
He's just bucking the system all over. I mean, he's pretty insane. Sometimes.
Poke.
Poking a bear, and all of a sudden, all this stuff is up. But cars are great, still do amazing tech. I mean, you know, from that perspective. But this stuff is just, I don't know if it's just a distraction or it's just literally he gets up in the morning and goes, all right, I just work 20 hours. What can I do before?
Yeah.
Let me make a headline.
My brain is liquefied. Who can I poke now?
I mean, literally. To be fair, I think, Brittany, you're also right. The man knows how to make headlines.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, if he's out of the press at least once a week, like, if he's out of the press more than, you know, 2 weeks in a row, we got to do something.
Yeah. Won't take anything away from the dude, that's for sure.
And it's funny, before all this, you didn't really know who the hell he was.
No.
I mean,
PayPal Mafia.
It is a PayPal Mafia. Those guys come from, it's all PayPal people.
But think about what this guy's day must be like. He owns Tesla. He owns the rocket company. He owns a solar company. He owns the company that puts holes in the ground and cars can travel through. Mm-hmm. What else does he have?
All while being married to Grimes and having a child. With her.
And have a child whose name is a bunch of characters strung together. Yeah,
it's all companies. I mean, it's all through, you know, saving the world. So, I mean, in reality, he's crazy, but you have to have some crazy people to come up with some of this stuff.
Yeah, that's genius is born from crazy.
That's the thing.
You can't just be an everyday 9-to-5 person, then suddenly reinvent the world. That's just not how things go.
Right. You look at electric cars. He's not that invented it, but the way he produced cars was the smartest way to do this, right? You go for the highest end so that the people who can afford them can fund all the smaller stuff. So then you start selling cars that are eventually going to be 20 grand.
Right.
Solar, boring company. You're like, oh, we got to transport this a better way. There you go. The rocket stuff, like, who did not want to think about rockets that are come back to Earth and you can reuse them again. Like, you know, like, it's not that crazy, but yeah. You have to have a little bit of crazy to go, we should be doing this.
It's out of the box thinking, and it's like, you know, you and I, Bart, we've done that plenty. What if we did this? What if we did that? And then we start talking it through. And then at the end of the conversation, we're like, oh God, you know, we're just like, but he just keeps going. He just keeps going.
I mean, listen, Tesla almost went out of business completely, put his own money into all of it. And, you know, they're doing great. So yeah,
it's insane. It all started from a bunch of guys from PayPal. It's crazy. All right. Last on the Tesla tequila. I prefer Trey's Commas tequila myself. So
I'm a Patron gal.
Patron. I have a friend who loves Patron a little too much.
Yeah.
All right.
Really like tequila, but Patron I could stomach.
Pasadores all the way for me. So
what's that? Pasadores. Pasadores? How about Tito's? Does Tito's make tequila? They don't make tequila.
Oh no, but they should.
They should.
I love Tito's. No,
the Rock has new tequila too, which is great.
Oh. So if anyone's listening to this and is thinking about getting us a Christmas gift here.
Well, you got The Rock, and obviously you have George Clooney's tequila. I mean, you have those two, so there's that.
When in doubt, make a tequila brand.
Men in doubt, make a tequila brand. All right, let me write that down. All right, that'll do it for this episode. We'll be back next week to discuss the latest news in e-commerce, tech, and retail. And don't forget to listen to our other long-form podcast called In the Ring. We've got some great guests lined up. Find In the Ring on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, we'll see you next week on the internet.